Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. So how do you rig an economy? According to former BlackRock executive Morris Pearl, the wealthy chair of the nonprofit group Patriotic Millionaires, and Erica Payne, the organization's founder, you start with the tax code. That's the subject Pearl and Payne explore in their informative and unapologetic new book, Tax the Rich: How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. The book takes readers on an engaging and enlightening insider's tour of the nation's tax code, explaining exactly how the rich and the politicians they control manipulate the U.S. tax code to ensure the rich get richer and everyone else is left holding the bag. Recently, I was lucky enough to catch up with Erica Payne for a special two-part interview. In part one, Payne tells us why so many successful American millionaires believe our economy is actually unfairly rigged in their favor and how the tax code has become the engine driving that injustice. Well, Erica Payne, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So there's so much I want to ask you, and it's such a timely and important set of issues that you champion. Let's begin with the group, Patriotic Millionaires. It's a great name. Tell us how it came together and what you and your team do.
It happened really organically. 10 years ago, during the lame duck session of Congress, it became clear that President Obama was going to cave to Republican demands to extend the Bush tax cuts, including for incomes over $1 million. And it absolutely infuriated me. And so I reached out to some millionaires I know, and we worked together on a letter. And ultimately, about maybe almost 50 millionaires signed a letter that essentially said, for the good of the country, raise my taxes. And I called them the Patriotic Millionaires and put them on a website called patrioticmillionaires.org. And it exploded in the media. It was an overnight kind of media sensation. Who were these millionaires who wanted to pay higher taxes? We infuriated the Obama White House, who did not feel like hearing criticism. You know, Republicans clearly didn't agree with us. So there was just something in the moment that within days, the president of the Czech Republic was on the floor of the Czech Parliament addressing them about tax policy, and here were these American millionaires and all this. And so it just kind of took off from there. But at that point, Rob, it was just a letter and, you know, a few dozen millionaires. You know, in theory, we believe that we are not doing our part. And so over the course of the next 10 years, we built an organization underneath that and then expanded the group of millionaires, built out a policy department, a lobbying arm, a big communications department. So we built it from that kind of, you know, draw a line in the sand, set your values down, and then build an organization to support them.
Well, and while it's clearly an altruistic endeavor in many respects, it's also, I suppose, worth pointing out that the people behind this, and yourself, of course, believe it's not just a matter of altruism or people trying to be charitable. They really believe this is better for the country. It's better for everybody if we have a more equitable economy in which everybody pays their fair share of taxes.
Yeah, I mean, look, our chairman puts it best. He says, you know, I'm not any more altruistic than the next guy. I'm just greedy for a different kind of country than some other rich people are. And I think that that's really what this comes down to. You know, what kind of world do you want to live in? And what do you need to do to finance that kind of society? And there's a tax policy piece of it. One of the reasons that we focus on tax policy, though, mm-hmm. is that the tax system is really, think of it as like the engine block mm-hmm. of the nation's economy. And the tax structure itself is where people have done the rigging of the economy. So right now we're in a situation where about 70% of Americans think the economy is rigged in favor of the rich and against the middle class. And we have news for them. They are right. And how do you rig an economy? You start with the tax code. You know, the country's in a bad place, and we don't want to be in a bad place. We want, you know, to live in safe communities and, you know, all these basic things. And how do you finance that? There's a chunk of that that has to be done through the tax code. Now, our organization, after this initial letter that focused exclusively on tax policy, we have expanded organizationally to two other areas we think are essential. One is this relationship between labor and capital. You know, if you work, what can you expect in return? And so we support a minimum of a $15 federal minimum wage, and mm-hmm. think it should be higher in cities and things like that. And then what got this whole thing all mixed up in the first place and ended up in an economy that doesn't function for the vast majority of people is this maldistribution of political power, where a very small number of extraordinarily wealthy people essentially are standing at the drawing board, drawing the economy that works for them. And that is an economy that is held up by a corrupt campaign finance system, full stop. Our country is a fading democracy at best, and our wealthiest citizens have an outsized amount of political influence. So those three pieces need to be dealt with. But the book itself dives really, really hard into tax policy. Those other two pieces are critical, too.
Of course, the book is entitled Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. And I want to get into that. Talk to us again for just a moment about sort of the scale and scope of this problem right now. I think a lot of people, again, harbor the, although you say it, it's encouraging that 70% of the American public really does think things are rigged. I think a lot of people still think, oh, it's kind of, there's always been rich and there's always been poor, but things have changed dramatically in our country the last few decades. There hasn't been this gaping divide that we have in 2021.
Yeah, and this is the issue. I mean, of course, you know, people have different talents. They want to do different stuff. Some people care about making a huge amount of money. Some people, you know, want to have a fabulous family and spend a bunch of time with them and make enough money that their life is kind of reasonable, you know. Mm-hmm. So we are always going to have unequal societies. The basic inequality is not the issue. The issue is that we have hit a destabilizing level of inequality. So, Rob, the country today is more unequal than it has been in 100 years. Mm. And that level of inequality is what is driving a tremendous amount of our social unrest. So when you have, you know, millions upon millions of people who don't feel like their next day is going to be any better than the day before, and don't feel like their next year is going to be better, any better than the year before that, you really get into a place where people are, number one, financially vulnerable. Number two, that immediately leads to emotional vulnerability. That insecurity is leading people to go to the streets, and it gives an opportunity for really cynical political operatives to come in and try to divide people by race and class and other kinds of things, when really what we're talking about is money, 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 money and power, money and power. And it's not more complicated than that. No, the human cost, which I think is the part I really hope people can spend some time thinking about, this inequality. We right now, Rob, 2.5 million people are addicted to opioids. Deaths of despair, deaths due to alcohol, suicide, and drugs are at the highest point they have been in recorded history. For the first time in our nation's history, since we started looking at it, life expectancy is going down for segments of our population. So this inequality and the level of profound economic insecurity at the bottom, these things are leading to our social unrest. And I mean, they're frankly killing our people, and it's killing our society. So we want to help our country learn how to finance the kind of society that most normal, decent people want to live in. Decent schools, decent jobs, you know, safe neighborhoods. This is not a complicated pie in the sky idea. It's what just regular decent people want. How do we get there?
Coming up next, part two of my special extended interview with author and activist Erica Payne. Stay with us.
Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. In part one of my conversation with Erica Payne of the group Patriotic Millionaires, we discussed some of the big ways in which the U.S. economy has been rigged in favor of the super rich through manipulation of public policy. In part two, we dig deeper into some of the scandalous details of the U.S. tax code as Payne relates some concrete and outrageous examples of how lobbyists for giant corporations and the wealthy have quite literally and blatantly purchased control of our government for their own benefit.
Capitalism works best when there is a really, really big middle class, and when people feel like they're operating within a system that provides them an ability to succeed. What we have now is an economy that, I mean, think about that. 70% of Americans think this economy is rigged against them. Only 30% of people think that this thing is working how it should. And so we've clearly got to make change. Now, the issue in the tax code, yeah, Rob,
Let's talk about the tax code.
I'm not even talking about redistribution. I'm talking about we currently have a tax code that values money completely differently depending on how you make it. Okay, so I work for a living, 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, blah, blah, blah. Our chairman, Morris, he works for us full time, but he doesn't make any money. His income comes from pushing click on an E-Trade account. So let me just give you some raw numbers, okay?
Please.
I work for a living. Our chairman, the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires, does not work. He lives on his stock investment. Whenever he needs some money, he sells some stock, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say that I made $100,000 this year, and Morris made $100,000 this year. I made $100,000 working. Morris made $100,000 by pushing a little button on his E-Trade account, and it goes into his checking account. Okay, guess how much richer Morris is at the end of the year than I am. Make a wild guess.
I can imagine it's pretty significant.
It's about $8,000 or $9,000.
Wow.
Okay, so we both make $100,000. I work my tail off every day, every week. I end the year $8,000 or $9,000 poorer than Morris, who hasn't done anything. He sat around all week. I mean, all year. Okay. $400,000. It gets worse. Okay. So let's say we both make $400,000. Well, on $400,000, Morris click and go on his E-Trade account and me working. Okay. I'm going to pay $82,000 in taxes roughly. Morris is going to pay about $44,000 in taxes. Morris ends the year $38,000 richer than I am. Not because he made more money. Okay, only because he made it not doing anything. That's why he gets the preferential. Now, let's say that I got a fabulous new job that paid me $11 million. Okay, mm-hmm. Working every day, I make $11 million. Morris's great uncle that he's never met before dies and leaves him $11 million. Okay, mm-hmm. How much richer does Morris end up than me? $4 million.
Wow.
Again, there Morris didn't even have to click go on an E-Trade account. He just sat around waiting for some relative to die. He ends $4 million richer. And we wonder why our citizens are ticked off and taken to the streets and like can't take it anymore. Of course they can't take it anymore. You get richer and richer and richer. The more wealthy people you have who die and leave you money, you don't do anything. You just wait for them to die. Or you live off investments that you've already had that you inherited from somebody. You make more money than the working stiffs. So what ends up happening is the working stiffs are holding up the country, funding everything we need. You know, they're operating, you know, doing their part for the country. You saw this report. 55 of the biggest companies in the country paid no taxes last year. 2 years ago, it was 91 of the biggest companies. So I bought a box of toothpicks from Amazon. I paid more in federal income tax last year than Amazon paid. That is pathetic.
Yeah.
It's fixable.
And it's not just about rates, right? It's also about how, I mean, we know that the tax code is complicated and chock full of loopholes and exemptions, and that's a big part of what's going on here. I know President Biden's talked about raising corporate income tax, but there's more to it than just rates.
Yeah, there's totally more to it than just rates. And a lot of these big companies, it doesn't matter what the rate is because they have so many loopholes and little structures that let them get out of paying that rate. So let me just give you an example. The biggest problem in the tax code as far as corporations go, so the statutory rate, the stated rate used to be 35%. The Trump administration Republicans, when they rewrote the tax code, the whole federal tax code, they lowered that to 21%. Okay, Biden wants to raise it to 28%. That's a reasonable thing to raise it to, but the rate, again, is not the issue. And the rate itself is not actually what these corporate CEOs are upset about. They don't want to be prevented from playing these shell games that they play. They pretend they make their money somewhere other than where they make their money. Mm. I mean, that's basically it in a nutshell. And the way it works is it's not particularly complicated, but just to give you a sense of it. So say Starbucks of the United States, they sell tons of Starbucks in the United States. Well, they take their logo, that little mermaid lady, mm-hmm. and they assign ownership that logo to Starbucks of Ireland that has a really low federal tax rate. So the Starbucks of the U.S. has to send royalty payments to Starbucks of Ireland to use that logo. they can make the royalty payments anything that they want. So they can basically wipe out all of their U.S. profits, sending royalty payments of that exact same amount to Starbucks of Ireland. Then Starbucks of Ireland can pretend like they made all the money there. Starbucks of the U.S. pretends like they made no money whatsoever. They pay the much lower rate in Ireland, the U.S. rate, even though they clearly sold, you know, the vast majority of their coffee in the United States. That's the kind of stuff that has to be shut down on the corporate front.
This is obviously, the Trump years made it worse, clearly, but this is not like something new, right? This has been going on for a while, this game that the corporations and the wealthy play in our country?
Yeah, no, 100%, Rob. I mean, this is the thing. The one big favor that the Republican Party did in 2017 was that they passed this rewrite of the federal tax code on a straight party line vote. Not a single Democrat voted for this, and basically every Republican aside from a couple voted for it. But what they codified was a continuation of a trajectory that basically over the last 70 years has seen the wealthiest people in the country and the biggest corporations pay a smaller and smaller and smaller amount of the taxes that come into the company. Corporations used to pay around 30% of the taxes. Now they're around 7%. Wealthy individuals used to have marginal income tax rates as high as 91, 94%. The highest marginal income tax rate now is 37%. They changed the estate tax a million different ways, but a bunch of this stuff, and I'm glad you brought this up, Rob, a bunch of this stuff in the tax code has been wrong for 70 years, but they always come up with these little compromises, and then it passes with bipartisan support. So you really don't know who to hold responsible for it. The great thing is in 2017, Republicans decided to take responsibility for it. And so they decided to take responsibility for it. I think we should give them responsibility for it. So we now know exactly how 50% of the political system wants to structure the tax code. What we don't know yet is what the other 50% of the political system, we know what Biden says he wants to do, and we'll see whether the Democratic Party is going to pass some of those reforms that he's looking for, because this new rewrite of the federal tax code will also most likely be on a party line vote as well.
What do we do? What is the remedy, the recipe for fixing this mess? Are there some specific things that an average listener might sort of grasp as to where we need to go in this country to turn this around?
Yeah, look at it in two buckets. The easiest way to look at this is two buckets. Okay, the first bucket is this corporate bucket. We keep on reading these headlines about all these corporations are not paying what they should pay. The vast majority of that has to be dealt with this where they can pretend to do business and how they can skirt out. It's too complicated to climb into the details for an average person. And so suffice it to say that they should just set up an enormous amount of continuous political pressure to the lawmakers that is, I don't care how you write this detailed legislation, Starbucks is not going to pretend it's doing business in Ireland anymore, or I'm going to vote you out of office. Okay, so that's the corporate side. On the individual side, it's a little bit easier to grasp because it's not all in trade treaties and all this. So on the personal side, a few things. Number one, our group only wants to raise taxes on people who have at least $1 million of income or $5 million of assets. So if you do not have $1 million of income this year, we have no interest in you paying our taxes. If you don't have at least $5 million of assets that you own outright, okay, not a $5 million house that you owe $3.5 million on, but a $5 million house that you own, we think you can pay a little bit more in taxes. On the individual side, the pieces that need to be dealt with. The first piece is this differentiation of capital gains versus ordinary income. People who work for a living, how they get taxed versus people who live off investments and how they get taxed. In our opinion, for any income over $1 million, income is income is income. It should all be treated the same. Money should be counted as money, whether you make it working, whether you make it from investments, or whether you make it off of an inheritance. So at $1 million and above, capital gains rates and ordinary income should be equalized. The estate tax should follow that rate. Okay, that's the first reform. So money is money is money. The second piece would be to end the bracket racket. Right now, politicians always say, oh, we need to simplify the tax code. And all that means is they shrink the number of tax brackets so that the rich people don't have to pay anymore. The highest income tax bracket is 37%+. Right now, it kicks in at $622,000. We should have another bracket that kicks in at $1 million, a bracket that kicks in at $5 million, $10 million, $25 million. And those should go up increasingly until they are quite substantial. And then the third piece is when you move money from a person who has passed to their beneficiaries, that transition needs a fair amount of reform. So right now, there's a thing called the stepped-up basis where Robs say that I have $1 million in stock, but $1 million worth of stock like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It gets to be worth $10 million of stock. And then the day before I'm going to sell it, I die and I leave it to my heir. The new basis for them is $10 million, and so they only have to pay taxes on any appreciation of that stock over $10 million. $9 million of gain is completely wiped out, never taxed, and so this particularly benefits the uber wealthy, you know, who hold stocks for a long time, pass them to their kids. Their kids hold them for a long time, pass them to their kids, and this ownership is never ever taxed.
The book is Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. The website is patrioticmillionaires.org. We've been talking with the leader of Patriotic Millionaires, Erica Payne. She's the co-author of the book. You all should check it out. Erica, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Rob, thank you so much. This was great. And this is such a big moment for everybody. And we can make some fantastic changes and build the kind of country we want. So happy to be here. Thanks, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't done so already, please join the fight against COVID-19 by getting vaccinated. Stay safe by following the pandemic safety protocols. And we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.